بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، الروح وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الدائم الأبدي على أعدائه أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم وقرآن المجيد وهو أصدق القائلين وقولها الحق، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات محمد.
اللهم صل على
Alhamdulillah, with the grace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had bestowed on us the love and affection of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Those who admire the existence and presence of Ahlul Bayt, and those who read and find out the attributes and fazail of Ahlul Bayt, they come to know that what exceptional existence they were and they are. Ahlul Bayt are the link between the Creator and the creation. They are the Hablullah al-Mateen. They are the Urwatul Wuthqa. They are the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between Him and His creation. Ahlul Bayt are the people who convey the message of Allah and explain them and explain the message of Allah not only in words but also in their practices, that how a person can reach the heights of excellence and perfection by practicing perfectly on the tenets of Islam and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahlul Bayt in their lives, they faces different challenges, but they taught the entire mankind that whatsoever the situation is and whatsoever the challenges are, it is very much practicable that we can practice and act according to the tenets of Islam and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. At times when we do not want to practice something, we may bring lots of lame excuses. Yes, it is difficult at times when we are not very much involved ourselves with some sort of practice. If somebody does not know how to play golf or does not know how to play soccer, so that thing becomes very difficult and challenging for that person. But slowly and gradually, when that the same person learns how to play that game, he starts not only feeling it very comfortable, but he also enjoys that game. Similarly, because we are not very familiar to the practices and teachings of Islam and try to perform these things occasionally and very formally sometime and like on the some occasions only. So we are not very comfortable with those practices, with those teachings. It becomes difficult for us. It's just something, someone doesn't have the habit or doesn't have that practice of offering 5 times prayers in a day. So one day if he decides that today is Shab-e-Jumah, Thursday night or Friday prayers, let's offer 2 rakats of prayers or 4 rakats of prayers, whatever. So that offering of prayers become very challenging and problematic for that person. It becomes burden on that person. Similarly, other practices and even the azadari, it becomes a burden at times for those who do not remember Imam Hussain alayhis salam and his sacrifices and his teachings 365 days. It's in the hadith and sayings of the 5th and 6th Imam, that is Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhis salam and Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhis salam. Weather is not that cold, but I don't know why the salawat is so cold. What they said, the essence of their sayings is that whenever and wherever you come together, you assembled, you should discuss and talk about the attributes, about the teachings, about the sacrifice and the wilaya of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. This is the responsibility of a believer and the lover and the person who admires Ahlul Bayt. It's just not that ritualistically few days of a year we just commemorate and come together and commemorate a few programs and remember the sacrifices of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Imam Hussain alayhi salam should be in our blood. And it cannot be in our blood until and unless we remember him day and night. Remember in our practices. We cannot be a good follower of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt when we do not show that akhlaq and that moral and ethical values in our practices. When we meet each other, when we see each other, one of the basic teachings which Islam gives, and also it is in the sayings of Imam Hussein, that when you come across to someone and someone would like to talk to you, if that person has not greeted you, that he has not said salam to you, don't talk to that person. So much emphasis on greeting each other by saying assalamu alaikum, ya salamun alaikum. These are the two correct ways to greet each other. So when a person comes across to each other, we have seen many times that we do not greet each other. Now we are the followers. These are the small and basic things. If we ignore, how we can expect from ourselves that we could be closer to Imam Hussein al-Islam, we could be closer to Ahlul Bayt. How we can expect from ourselves that by ignoring these little things, we could be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some basic things. What these two imams say is that, so whenever and wherever you sit, you must remember us. You should talk about our wilaya, our governance, our teachings. This is our responsibility. And we can only discuss and talk about them when we know about them. We can only know about them when we read and try to understand about the teachings. Just wanted to change a little bit from this so-called dry thing. Just wanted to appreciate what I mentioned last year. I have seen some positive changes in this center. And I really appreciate ladies for that. That I have seen ladies coming by observing proper hijab, or at least I can say better hijab than last year. And I hope those who are still on their way to do the proper hijab, inshallah, in these 10 days, they will observe at least, they should be observing hijab overall, but of course, at least when they are coming to the center, they will observe the sanctity of the center and do the proper hijab. And its hijab is not only for ladies, it's for men as well. That to gaze their eyes from Namihram and not to mingle with them without any having any particular work to do or any chores to together. So I know that the center at times you are coming across to each other, so try to be to show your chastity from men's sides and from women from both sides. So I hope this will improve further. And it's besides that, it's at times the responsibility of men is much more than women to take care of these type of things. Besides that, when we talk about the akhlaq and ethics of Ahlul Bayt and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, it's been emphasized by the what the volunteers over here. The volunteers, they should also be really polite to the people, the guest of Imam Hussein. They are not your guest. The people who are coming to the center, they are coming as a guest of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They are coming as a guest of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So those who are volunteers, who are serving food and tea and water and different things and facilitating different things, they should not think that they are doing a lot. Whatever they are doing, it is for the reward from Imam Hussain al-Islam. It is for the reward for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a responsibility of those volunteers to be kind and polite to other guests. And all of us, we should try to ignore mistakes and flaws here and there, and we find, and try to improve ourselves and our this small community, and we should be close together and more integrated, and try to help each other in different type of chores. And alhamdulillah, if this learning goes on and on, you will be able to transfer this akhlaq of Ahlul Bayt, this akhlaq of Quran, to your young children. And of course, they will be able to receive it correctly and strongly. We should not ignore these small kids who come over here. Maybe they are not able to understand these speeches, even if they have been given in English, because it's not in their English actually. And even they are not that in that age, they can understand and relate each and every word of majlis. But they are coming over here, and they grasp a lot, that the potential, their ability to grasp things and to learn is much, much more than me and yours. So we should be careful. If we are unable to teach them positively, they will learn something negative from our attitudes and our behavior. So while we are at the center, we are at home, we are in outside with other people, our behavior should be in a way that it should relate us with Ahlul Bayt. It should relate us with Quran and its teachings. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Ali Hadri ya Ali.
We are discussing about Tawheed, about the fundamental of Islam. Again, one of the surahs in which we recite Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, that Iyyaka na'budu, that we only and only worship you, Allah, wa iyyaka nasta'in, and indeed we only seek assistance and help from you, O Allah. Now the existence of Allah in the first sermon of Nahjul Balagha, Amir al-Mu'mineen has explained it in length. And no other person in the entire mankind could able to explain the Tawheed and the existence of Allah as it has been explained by Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
I request you, rather recommend you, and insist that you may go and read the entire sermon, not only once, but as much as you can, because this is a sermon which cannot be understood just by reading once or twice. You need to go through it. You need to learn. You need to understand. You need to ponder. You need to discuss many things and many terminologies which has been mentioned over there by Amir al-Mu'mineen. Imam alayhi salam has mentioned that أَوَّلُدِّينِ مَعَرْفَتَهُ, that if a person would like to have deen and religion, the basic and the fundamental of that religion is ma'arfatullah, that is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And later on in that sermon, Amir al-Mu'minin says that Allah is nothing which can be identified with our naked eyes, which can be seen. We cannot see Allah, but still Allah exists everywhere. His presence is everywhere. At times when a small kids ask that, where is Allah? We say, He is above the heavens, above the skies, in the heavens. The answer is partially right and partially wrong. When somebody dies, he says, where is after death my grandfather has gone, my grandmother has gone, where they are, where have they been headed? You say, they have gone to Allah, as if Allah is somewhere else. So our replies, their answer is simple, but they need correctly to be addressed. At times we just wanted to, you know, give some sort of answer. So, and we at times we get irritated from their questioning. When the kids ask us, we should be very careful. We should reply them correctly, and also we should consider their age level as well. We cannot say if somebody asks, what is the difference between the existence of Allah and our own existence? Allah also exists and we also exist. So what is the difference between our existence and the Allah's existence? One of the basic and simple but philosophical answer is that Allah is wajib al-wujud and we are mumkin al-wujud. And even many of us can't understand this terminology. Can you recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad? So this is the smallest and basic and the correct answer, that Allah is wajibul wujud. That Allah's existence is inevitable. That Allah should be there, because there should be an existence without being given birth and being created. That Allah is, His existence is absolute existence. That Allah's existence do not depend on anything else. And our existence is not a compulsory existence. There could be me or could be not. That I could be, exist in this world and could be not. There could be a possibility of either side. But another thing is, when Allah give me this existence, I am not independent in my existence. My existence depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My hayat, my mamat, my living in this world, and my death all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That we all belongs to Allah. Inna lillahi, we belongs to Allah. Indeed, we belongs to Allah. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then we will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the existence is there. How one can understand His existence? There are several ways to understand. One is the philosophical way. The other is to, by going through the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't bring the Darwin's theory, which has already been exposed and already been condemned. The Darwin's theory is no more valid. They are, even when the Darwin's theory was being given, Darwin's theory was being condemned even at that time because of some political things and some lobbying, his theory was being established in this world one way or the other. But now it's no more being the only theory which has been established. There are many other theories, and there have been theories which encounter the theory of Darwin. Similarly, Quran says that Allah's existence was there when there was nothing else. He created everything in 7 days. What are those 7 days? It needs explanation. We need to go into the tafsir and interpretation of the Quran. We cannot discuss it right now over here. But Allah created everything. Allah created everything. Allah, and then we will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one of the hadiths mentioned by Ma'asum alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salat wa salam says, Imam says, اعرف الله بالله أي انظر إلى الأشياء, that recognize Allah with Allah, recognize Allah with the help of Allah. How we can recognize Allah with His own help? Because we cannot, it's in the dua, other duas as well. Oh Allah, if you were not introduce yourself to me, I have been in ignorance. I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah has introduced Himself to me. Directly in Quran and indirectly in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. And indirectly, again, with the creation of the entire universe. It's in the hadith that we should think and ponder. We should ponder into the creation of Allah. It's been in hadith, it said that, do not think in the creator, rather think and ponder in the creation of Allah. We should start thinking that who has created me? Did I create it myself? No. Did my parents create it me? No. And for some moment, if we come to this, that yes, my parent has created me. Then who created my parents? Their parents. Then who created my grandparents? Say, great grandparents created them, and so on. So where is the end? Although my parents and their parents and their parents did not create it, they give birth, they did not create it. Even the science says that parents do not create, they just give birth. They do not create. So, who has created? So, in the end, there is only one existence on which we have to believe that He has created. He has created. Even the theory of Big Ben, when they say that two things collided, the question says that who created those two things? Who created? So in the end, the logic says it cannot go infinite. We need to stop somewhere. And when we stop that place, that thing is the creator. And the creator without knowledge cannot create something. When we make a puzzle, when a child play with a Lego or a Meccano or something like that to build something, he needs some basic knowledge that this part can be joined with that part and so on. So even the child and that person, while building a little toy, needs to have knowledge. And we say that the entire universe has been created by something without having knowledge. Without having knowledge. Can we create something like that? No. Nothing in this world, nothing is in this world created by coincide. The philosophers of our time, they deny that there is no coincide. Every incident and every event has, every action has a reaction. There is always a logic. There is always a rational behind it. Yes, at times I am not aware of that logic and rationality, but it exists over there. It's very simple. For me, 2 + 2 is very simple. But for a child of age 2 or 3, when you start teaching that child, we'll say, how much 2 + 2? He cannot answer it. The child doesn't answer. You need to guide, look, this 2 has 2 units and other 2 also have 2 units, and now count 1, 2, 3, 4, that's how it becomes 2. So it is not very obvious for that child. He needs to be taught, he learns things. So there is no coincide. It's always a logic, a rational, a knowledge behind it, because logic and rational cannot based on without knowledge. So knowledge is the base of everything. And Allah is Alim, who is the creator of ilm, from which a drop of ilm has been given to the scholars, to the ulama, to the anbiya and awliya and awsiya, to them. A drop of water has been given. A drop of ilm has been given to them. So the existence is over there. And that's why, taken from the story of Hazrat Ibrahim, can I say salawat Muhammad wa alayhi wa
sallam? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It's in Quran. You must have read as a storybook as well, that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam denied the idols which were being worshipped at that time. People used to worship sun, they used to worship moon, they used to worship stars and so on. Worship the idols made by their own hands. So Hazrat Ibrahim said that, okay, I will worship sun, and when it sets down, you say, how I can worship something which sets down, which disappears, it's no more, doesn't give its light, doesn't give its benefit, so I do not believe it. Okay, I will worship moon, and when it disappeared, then again Hazrat Ibrahim said, how I can worship moon when it disappears, and so on. And then he able to convey his message that these things are not your creator, these are the creation of the biggest creator, the only creator, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the people of his time did not agree on his logic and his proofs. Then one day, what happened? Everyone went out of that city to celebrate some function over there. He was the only person left behind in the city. He broke all the idols except the biggest one and put that X, whatever thing it had in the head or attached with that biggest idol. When people came back, they saw all the idols were being destroyed. So they started blaming Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, why you are blaming me? Ask your God. He will tell you that who has destroyed. Maybe he has destroyed himself. Again, at that time they could not get the reply from that idol. They could not reply to Ibrahim. They could not able to, you know, get hold of Ibrahim. But in the end, again, when they saw that they are unable to. When people saw at that time and in our time, when people are unable to. When people are unable to give reply with their knowledge, when they find themselves paralyzed, when they find themselves unable to answer the questions and give reason and proofs against the knowledge, they start terrorizing. Hazrat Ibrahim was put into the fire. What was that? That was been state terrorism. That was called state terrorism. And in the our days, when people are unable to reply, unable to answer Shias and Ahlul Bayt and Islam, they start target killings, terrorize them, playing with them, label them, and so on. Because they cannot confront Islam with knowledge. Because enemies of Islam are unable to give the spirituality to their own people. The enemies of Islam are unable to give the economic satisfaction in their own societies. The people of the world has come to this conclusion. Nor capitalism, neither communism or socialism or all these isms are useless for them. In the end, it brings misery for them. So now the Islam's flag is over there. They are looking towards it. But these people are just to condemn, just to blame. Just people could not go closer to them. They start labeling Islam one way or the other. They do not allow the masses to do the research on their own and try to understand. Believe those people. We cannot correct the entire world. But what about ourselves? Where we stand? We, the believers in Quran, we the believers in Ahlul Bayt, we the believer in the oneness of Allah and His power and His knowledge, where we stand, where we are, where we find our faith with, whom we are following, our nafs, our carnal souls, our desires, or the teaching of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. When the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kindly recite once more Salawat Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When the Prophet announced قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا, pronounce that there is no God except one God, one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be successful, you will be prosper. قولوا لا إله إلا الله, say لا إله إلا الله and you will be prosper. Now saying La ilaha illallah is not just uttering these words in Arabic and say that we have been prosper. La ilaha, uttering these words, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Aliyun Waliullah, are the beginning and the first step at the door of Islam. It's the beginning of Islam. It's the beginning of the journey. The journey which can take us towards the paradise, towards the Rizwanullah, which is, Allah says, Rizwanullah al-Akbar. Rizwanullah al-Akbar. Rizwan, that is the pleasure of Allah, which is the ultimate destination of each mu'min and believer. Yes, every believer would like to be keep himself and herself away from the fire of hell. Every mu'min and mu'mina would like to enter into the gardens and the castles of paradise. But are these materialistic things which has not satisfied a mu'min and a mu'mina in this world, are those things are going to satisfy this mu'min and mu'mina hereafter? No. A true believer and mu'min and mu'mina is after something else. As their Mawla has said that I do not worship my Lord because of the fire of hell or for the lust of paradise, but I find my Lord to be worthy to be worshipped. So I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what our Mawla Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam says.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We, being the follower of Ali ibn Abi Talib, we should not engage our thoughts, we should not dedicate our actions, we should not dedicate our ibadat for the torment of Allah or for the lust of the paradise. Rather, we should be more and more focused and dedicated to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, to achieve hard things, we need to work hard ways. Just little things, little tips I would like to give you in the ending moments of my speech tonight. How we can achieve, what could be, if somebody asked me that, what could be a one or two things which we can do to take a baby step, a little step ahead towards seeking the pleasure of Allah. There could be many things, but let's start with something which was been very much desired and loved by Imam Hussain alayhi
salam.
Imam asked Hazrat Abbas to get one more night and tell them that Imam Hussain loves to worship Allah. Salat. We need to be more focused in our salat. A very good question was been asked last night for one of the mu'min who is not present right now. But he asked me that when we stand for offering our prayers, our thoughts are flying here and there. Everywhere our thoughts are, except in salat. How we can develop and create that concentration on our salat? The basic thing which ulama has mentioned in their books, is that we should concentrate on the meanings of what we are reciting. If we are saying Allahu Akbar, we should know what is the greatness of Allah. At least, if not its meaning in depth, at least is what you say, it's a mere meaning in English or whatever language you are convenient, Persian or Arabic or Urdu or whatever. So Allahu Akbar, that Allah is the greatest. Allah is the great. Sorry, Allah is the great. Because greatest comes when something is in comparison great. So Allah is the great. When you come to the surah, when you say Alhamd, so we should have its meaning in our minds. So when we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we're saying Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'een, we only pray for worship Allah, and we seek only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on. And when going into the ruku, so the meaning of that should be running in our minds. So these focusing on these meanings, meaning of these surahs and zikr, will develop more dedication in salat, more concentration in salat. And that's how. And one more thing. Another thing is Tasbihat Zahra Salamullah Alayha. Usually we recite very fast. We recite Tasbihat Zahra very fast. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Actually, it doesn't come into our hearts. This Tasbihat Zahra from our tongue, it should go to our heart. And through our heart, heart is the pumping station of blood. When it goes into our hearts, when you say Allahu Akbar, if it goes into our hearts, that Allahu Akbar will circulate into our veins, into our blood. And you will see its impacts, its effects in our body, its positive effects in our body. When it comes, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Inshallah, in coming nights, I will explain more that how we can utilize this Tasbihat Zahra in a better way. But for tonight, the basic thing is that at least when we are reciting, just think that these words are just not been uttered from my tongue, but it is going into my heart. Into my hearts, Allahu Akbar, that Allahu Akbar is going in my heart. When I say Alhamdulillah, it's going to my heart. When I say Subhanallah, it's again going into my heart. Try to feel it. This is called meditation. It's meditation. It's not isolating yourself into a corner. Meditation is while you are in action, relating yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, same time while you are sitting among the people. Yes, you can meditate over here. Meditate over here when you link yourself with Imam Hussain alayhi salam. When you link yourself with Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. When you link yourself with Karbala. When your soul can fly from over here, from this city to the city of Karbala, with the city of love and affection, with the city of sacrifices. Allahu Akbar. Tonight is the second night. Second night. Allahu Akbar. This caravan of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Imam Hussain alayhi salam. They travel, they start traveling from Medina to Makkah. They reach Makkah. Imam Hussain wanted to be in Makkah, but the letters were coming from Kufa and inviting Imam Hussain alayhi salam to reach as soon as possible, as early as possible. And then again Imam Hussain alayhi salam realized that the people have gathered, the enemy has sent their people to assassinate Imam Hussein alayhi salam while performing Hajj or Umrah. So Imam changed his decision and left Mecca early without performing Hajj. So people were surprised that where Imam is going, because Imam was not a common personality. Imam was the celebrity of his time and celebrity of our times as well. He's not any common or other Sahaba or companion of the Prophet. Imam Hussein cannot be compared with anyone. Imam Hussein has the attribute to be praised by Allah. Imam Hussein is the one whose cradle was been given swing by angels. Allah used to send angels from heavens and used to ask them, go and play with Hussein. Hussein is crying. Allah never could not able to see Hussein crying. Allah could not able to see that Imam Hussein has been hurt. Allahu Akbar, now the time is coming, the testing and challenging time for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That he left Makkah towards Kufa. But in the events which took place, Imam was being taken towards Karbala. Hazrat Hur went into his ways, came into his way and said that you are not allowed to go towards Kufa. Imam said, okay, if you do not allow, let me go back or let me go somewhere else. Hur said, no, I have been given this task to take you towards some other place. Allahu Akbar. He did not mention what place it is. But he has been asked to take Imam Hussein towards some place. Imam Hussein, when the caravan and the soldiers of Hur reached over there, they were thirsty, they were close to death. Imam asked that open the mouth of the bottles of water, give water as much as they want to drink. So everyone in the battalion of Hur, they drank the water. When they were being satisfied, Imam said, give water to their animals and to their horses. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam saw a person crawling because of the thirst. That person could not able to even stand and walk. That person was crawling. Imam went close to that person, put his hand near his mouth and start pouring water, and that person started drinking that water. That was the Imam. Water was being stopped, not only to him but towards his children as well. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So Imam was being taken towards the place, unknown place. When Imam reached the place, his horse, his Zuljana, was stopped there. Imam started asking the name of the land. Somebody says name is Ghazariya. Someone else said his name is Nainawa. He said, call your elders, the most elderly person of that place came, and Imam Hussein inquired, is there any other name of this place? He said, yes, there's one more name, Its name is Karbala. Imam said, "A'udhu bika min karbin wa bala. Wallah, I seek refuge from karb and bala. I seek refuge from all atrocities." Allahu Akbar. Imam said, "This is the place where we will put our camps. This is the place where we will end over here. This is the place that we will put our camps over here. This is the place where our youngsters will be slaughtered. Our bodies will be mutilated." Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Zainab came close to his brother and asked, "Oh brother, oh Hussein, why we are camping over here? Why we are camping over here? This is a deserted place. Let's move some other place." Imam said, "Oh my beloved sister, this was the place. This was the promised land that we have to stay over here and face all the challenges and atrocities." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And then Imam asked people to come down from their rise, and over there they camped over there. Before they were camping, over near the canal of Karbala. But later on they have been asked to move from their canals. Assalamu alaikum ya Muhammadullah wa ala الأرواح التي حلت بفراق عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر لحد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين السلام عليكم جميع شهداء كربلاء ورحمة الله وبركاته اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم وبدم مقتول بكربلاء يا الله 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 ربنا تقبل منا هذا القليل والله accept this little ibadat from us. Oh Allah, bestow with the love of Ahlul Bayt and Quran. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to be the obedient servant of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Oh Allah, hasten the reappearance.